This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Kevin Spenst has been called the hardest working man in poetry, and one could add the word irrepressible to that description. The writer, poet, actor, performer, artist was in Nanaimo for the monthly Wordstorm event this week and to read from his new collection, Ignite, at Nanaimo's Harborfront Library. Kevin Spenst is the author of Ignite and Jabbering with Bing Bong and the chapbooks Pray Goodbye, Retractable, Happy Hollow in the Surrey Suite, What the Frag, Snap, and Surrey Sonnets. Spenst has performed a one-man show at the Vancouver Fringe Festival and has presented over 100 readings of his work across the country. His latest collection is called Ignite.
I spoke with Kevin Spenst just before Wordstorm earlier this week.
The current collection of Ignite was initially my thesis from UBC. It was my graduating thesis. And the poems in Ignite were written mostly in 2011 and 12. So it's a kind of prequel. And it was me trying to write poetry in, through, and around the field of, you know, my father's life. And so that was the initial kind of challenge of poetry. How do I write poetry about one man's tragic, in many ways, life.
Tell us a little bit about your father and give us a sense of the challenges that he grappled with.
Abe Spenst was born in Winnipeg, North Kildonan, in 1932. And he, at a young age, showed signs of mental illness. And when he was, I think, 18, he was first institutionalized. The family had moved from Winnipeg to Abbotsford. And in 1954, it was December of 1954, he was institutionalized at the Hollywood Sanatorium, or I think it was Sanatorium. Hollywood was the name of a mental institution in New West. And he was taken in by his family, his mom and dad, and treated with electric shock therapy. And that was the first of many subsequent visits over the course of his life.
He was dealing with schizophrenia.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So he heard voices from the radiator. In one report with the psychologist who was doing the assessment of him, it's reported that he was hearing voices from the radiator and that he... He said himself that, you know, I brought people back from the dead, and he was certainly delusional, hearing things, fearing recording devices kind of around him.
Kevin Spenst is a Vancouver-based poet and the author of Ignite, a finalist for the Alfred G. Bailey Prize and winner of the Lush Triumphant Award for Poetry. Ignite is a collection of elegiac and experimental poetry, powder-kegged with questions about one man's lifelong struggle with schizophrenia. Born into a strict Mennonite family, Abe Spenst's mental illness spanned 3 decades in and out of mental institutions, where he underwent electric shock treatment and coma-induced insulin therapy. Merging memory and medical records, Kevin Spenst recreates his father's life through a cuckoo's nest of styles that both stand as witness and waltz to the interplay between memory, emotion, and all our forms of becoming.
Kevin Spenst was in Nanaimo this week to read from his new collection, Ignite, at Wordstorm and at the Vancouver Island Regional Library's Harborfront and Gabriola branches. I spoke with Kevin about his work and experiences and also recorded his comments and reading at Wordstorm.
The poems in Ignite are largely about my father and his schizophrenia and the impact it had on the family. I wrote a couple of poems that are in Jabbering that kind of lead to that. And this one is called Spaces. The first time I took acid was to understand my father's schizophrenic episodes. The blotter paper in tinfoil on the tip of my finger like a microchip. I understood acid in 1988 as a psychotic pick-me-up and breakdown. Wednesday morning after my mom leaves for work at Kmart, Jody comes over. I took acid to get close to a man I was ashamed of being seen with in public. In the kitchen, we open the foil and place blotter paper onto our tongues. I took acid after reading Albert Hoffman's LSD, My Problem Child. When the cheese in the microwave starts exploding in waves, I took LSD as a father and son heart-to-heart, mano-a-mano-a mind meld. When I step outside, the stop sign jumps like a pogo stick. I took it to be with my father in a straitjacket built for two. When the sun goes down and someone else's words insinuate themselves into my train of thought, like a squall of homeless men in a boxcar huddled in a cold corner. To travel past his nervous breakdowns in 1954, 55, 58, 59, 71, 78, and 81, when my insides start to fizzle as if my head has fallen into my stomach, I know I don't want to be like my father, but no matter how I try, I can't shake this tar-thick stickiness spreading. My father's fear of microchips embedded in medication, oozing from breakages inside as we drive around Surrey looking for a place to lay low because we don't dare go home until everyone is fast asleep, tucked safely away into their darkness. Ignite came about from the encouragement of classmates at UBC. I'd written a creative nonfiction piece about my father, and classmate Elizabeth Ross, she said, you have to write about that in poetry. You've got to look at that through the various lenses of poetry. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And I also was able to gain access to his medical records from Riverview and created poems kind of using some of the reports that the various psychiatrists on duty who were assessing him used. And again, with poetry, it's such an open field. There's so many different forms, from prose poetry to, you know, haiku, to the smallest amount of words. I created a number of different ways of thinking about him and thinking through him. And this one is kind of a prose poem, and it's thinking about his thought process. And it's called Abe. August 16th, 1959, and it's from his point of view. God's given me gifts. When I speak, it must be in the tongues of angels. The devil can't grasp these words. My wife won't understand when I follow my lips as the spirit moves, but angels will provide. My daughter babbles in the chimes of angels. She understands. In this library, I'm guided towards the gifts of history. This librarian is an angel. She takes me to books that explain the great scramble for the heart of Africa and the great dig into the gray matter of our heads, both races in the 1870s. 1 + 8 + 7 is a gift of 17. Today is August the 16th. The 16th. Another language of angels. I can't write this down or they will know that I know. Look up casually from this book. Remember how explorers in the Congo and anatomists in Europe conspired, the explorers digging for silver, the anatomists dropping silver into brain tissue to steal roots, to colonize the mind and the map. Camillo Golgi dropped silver chromate onto a neuron. The axon and dendrite turned black against a yellow background, and their paths were then stolen for the first time. From there, he took the Golgi apparatus on behalf of European powers. Africa was pillaged by Stanley, who took a city, Stanleyville, and next to that, the Stanley Falls.
The angels explain how these men stole on behalf of Italy, England, and Belgium, but really it was for a secret society, a group of half-men from the beginning. Genesis 6:4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. These half-angels grew in greed, wanting the smallest parts of the brain and the largest portions of Africa, where they also took, and this is something the angels have told only me, the black magic of Bagba. And when the brain was opened later by Wilder Graves Penfield, he whispered voodoo into its cracks, its sulky grooves. Penfield's assistants thought he was leaning to look closer, but behind his surgical mask, he was whispering words from Africa to invoke the devil inside the brain cells. When the straps were wrapped around my wrists to hold me down from convulsions, they also whispered these words, "The devil takes us in shocks of pain, which makes us sin. God has sent angels that move me to counter in whispered tongues. The apocalypse will come in whispers. We will need to escape to a place where there are no European nor African languages. When I step outside the library, speak quickly. When the rain falls, we're most vulnerable. It's cold and hard to hold on to this line of thought." Ward Notes, Provincial Mental Health Services, 1971. The patient would not talk to him, but wrote him notes saying he was unable to speak. And that's from one of the documents. "I am one of the happiest days of your life, a boy. Cigars seated everyone in maternity. A 10-pound parcel of bliss. Congratulation calls from family and friends. I am one of the worst nights of your life. Crying you awake when you need sleep for work. Night after moonstruck night. As if I were a manic episode manifesto. Your thoughts wail behind as you race to the airport to buy a one-way ticket to China. With no passport, your ticket goes unused. Your doctor's on vacation, and your concern mirrors the concern on everyone's face, but not again. You take off your belt and take out a letter opener, arming yourself against the invasion of foreign chemicals coming down from the mountains that rise and fall in bawling and howling." Ghost. "I pointed a green landscape from the pop-up book, fingertip the trees till they fall flattened between hard covers and your hands in steeple prayer. Now I lay me down to. I pray the Lord my soul to. If I should die before I pray the Lord my soul to. Those are the words you say to me. Those words I remember. Your weight rocks the bed free. The glass doorknob turns good night. I fold into a dream of a man with no name who answers to no one, sleepwalking through his conclusion the night he transforms our house into something haunted, pains appealing to the streets outside, police come to subdue him, schizophrenic, an agnomen of armies from a strange land. 38, I'm told the story of how my sisters and I were rushed from our rooms, driven to stay with our mother's parents, you shouting invitations to the heavens. Everyone is welcome in my house. A pop-up book, shards of a crystal doorknob focusing moonbeams to a grasp of 1977 that opens to an empty bedroom, to a living room couch, to a car, shouting up ashes again. Where the hell was I?"
Ignite is described as both healing and ascending. It heals and it ascends. What did you mean by that, or what does the publisher mean by that?
I think that's a line from Sandra Ridley, and she was a judge for the Alfred G. Bailey Prize, and this came in as a runner-up. And I would interpret that as seeing this as a book that expresses a lot that many people can understand. Just today on my way here in Horseshoe Bay, I was chatting with somebody at a coffee shop, and I explained that I was on my way to Nanaimo for a reading. She asked what I was reading, a book of poetry, what's it about? And I explained this to her, and she confided in me that
well, about the mental illness in her family. And so many people have said to me when this topic comes up, yes, I have a brother or a sister or a parent who has suffered or suffered some form of mental illness. So in terms of healing, and this woman this afternoon said and talked about the relief that it is to kind of express that and share that in this environment of acceptance. And so perhaps we can see that as the healing process of learning to accept the feelings that the grief that we have around us, and maybe see it transformed into something for positive change in terms of the creation of something. We can rail against the injustices of the world. We can punch a wall. We can, you know, throw a glass down and watch it shatter. But that doesn't really necessarily lead to anything lasting. And this book for me is something for my family and other people who want to see that process of coming to acceptance. And my father lived through the worst decades of mental health treatment. He really lived through the middle ages of treatment with electric shock treatment when it was, you know, in its when they first started using it, and he suffered a lot. Then there's no way that can be changed, and that's a tragedy. But what we do have right now is this present moment of learning to accept what is around us, what is maybe inside of some of us, accept it and try to do our best to take a step towards something better. You know, the poem that I read talked about the shame that I felt when I was a teenager. And when I was young, I wish that there'd been some sort of literature or story or something to make the multi faceted problem of mental health. I wish there'd been something to help me understand it a little bit better. Not that it can be understood, perhaps, ultimately, but I wish there'd been something a little bit more for me. And I certainly grew up so ashamed of my father. And I think if there's a message, quote unquote, of this book, it's one of acceptance. And hoping that in talking about it, there's some destigmatization of it, and there's no shame for people who suffer, and I can't speak on their behalf, but certainly for people who are family members. And those are the people I feel I can talk to most. And the message is, it's everywhere. There are so many people who suffer from this, and there are biological reasons, there are social reasons, there are so many different reasons, and it's probably a combination of many different things. We live in a very difficult world, and I think it's becoming more and more challenging and difficult for so many people, and it's okay to feel that it's difficult. And the best we can do sometimes is just to accept those difficulties.
Kevin Spence, thanks for speaking with me about this and taking the time to meet up for this interview.
Thank you so much.
Kevin Spence is a writer and poet and a key figure in Vancouver's burgeoning poetry scene. His latest collection is called Ignite. You can find Ignite online at Amazon and Indigo, and you can find Kevin Spence online at kevinspence.com.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7 Radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.